Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Late disappointment at the New Meadow as we drop more points, and the fallout from Lee Bowyer's post-match interview has got tongues wagging as well. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's podcast, we'll be looking back at yesterday's desperately frustrating 1-1 draw with Shrewsbury Town, a late leveller for Salop, the hosts over in Shropshire yesterday. Joining me on the pod to do that, first up, Mr. Benji Cloak, who's in his conservatory this evening. How are you, Ben?
Boy, yeah, I'm good. That sounds like a bit of a... A Cluedo game, didn't it? I've got a candlestick out here. Yeah. I could be Professor Benji with the candlestick in the conservatory. Yeah.
All right, you haven't actually murdered anyone on your way to doing the pod this evening. I think Lee Bowyer, with a candlestick or any other utensil, could have happily murdered quite a few people at full time yesterday. He was absolutely fuming, wasn't he? The addicts weren't able to hang on to the point. And joining me and Ben on the pod, of course, to discuss that game, hopefully someone else who hasn't murdered anyone just yet, Mr. Lewis Cat. How are you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. And thankfully, no murders this end. Although, like Benji says, it is a little bit like a game of Cluedo, isn't it? You could have Benji in the conservatory with the candlestick, or Lee Bowyer in the dressing room with the hairdryer.
Mm, yeah, Chris Gunter in the penalty area with the trip. On tonight's pod, then, we'll be hearing the highlights of yesterday's game. We're also going to hear the post-match interview from a furious Lee Bowyer. He goes into his views on the performance. And, of course, the fact that he took Johnny Williams off just 23 minutes after bringing him on, that was one major talking point that came out of yesterday's game as well. We've got your tweets and emails as well, because there is plenty of stuff to talk about. People getting a little bit concerned now, aren't they? We've only won one game in the last five, and the performances, especially yesterday, wasn't what we've come to expect in the early part of this season. So all of that to come on this evening's Charlton Live. And Ben, just before we hear the highlights, I mean, you know, we were seconds away from holding on to the 3 points, and it was frustrating because we were that close. But really, did that display warrant 3 points from us?
I don't think it did. Football's a game of fine margins. If Albie Morgan levers that ball up the pitch, then we come away with 3 points. We look back and did we deserve to get the 3 points? No, I don't think we did. I think Shrewsbury had better chances of goal. I think Amos made a couple of good saves that kept us in it. Did we trouble their keeper as much? No, I don't think we did. I think it was very similar to Wednesday night where we were frustrated. We didn't create much. There were at times plays that just didn't go well. Yeah, it's just another frustrating performance. That's 3 games in 4 now where we can say that, and we're coming away thinking what did go wrong. And yeah, look, let's hopefully now let's look at a bigger picture. Let's look at what did go wrong, and obviously Albie's clearance didn't help with that, but the rest of the game, the rest of the 90 minutes, we weren't warranting of those 3 points. So why?
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be plenty of ideas, I imagine, that we'll bring up in the pod and from the tweets and emails as well, because people will be concerned, Lewis, that, you know, it is one win in 5 games now. You know, that Ipswich game is sandwiched by the performances at Burton and in midweek against MK, and obviously yesterday as well. It will start to be something that fans will be concerned about, because we haven't played well as we had been earlier on in the campaign, and there's just a few things that people haven't really been too sure about recently.
Yeah, 100%. Then ahead, I think whether we can put it down to a bit of fixture congestion and coming back from that international break after such a strong run of results, maybe knocking the consistency and the momentum a little bit, then we find ourselves coming back in sort of full throttle the Saturday, Tuesday schedule. And a couple, you know, like Benji said there, sort of 3 performances in 4 that have been incredibly disappointing, given the standards that we'd set earlier on in the season. I know we've been missing a lot of key players. You know, yesterday was a one-off, really, where we'd managed to have a natural centre-half partnership with Piercy coming back in and Famwo. We've lacked that in the last few weeks, and we had that back yesterday, and I thought that might help. I thought they put in a solid display, but the rest of the pitch, I think we just looked a little bit off it. We looked to normally, didn't quite come up with the goods. I thought that we were disappointing in midfield, and I'm sure we'll come on to the way we line up, but I just think that the Watson and Prattley in the same team is a little bit too negative for me, especially when you're going away from home to a side that are struggling in the division. You want to be going there, you know, all out trying to get the points. And I think we just looked completely off it yesterday. And I think the only thing we can look at the moment is that we've got a week now before our next, rather than having something slotted in the middle. So we've got a bit of an opportunity to try and, you know, dissect some of these performances and work out what's going wrong and maybe reassess the system and try and get over these hurdles, if you like. But it's not a huge cause for concern, because we're still sitting quite comfortable in the top 6. But it want to be something we want to iron out as soon as possible, because although we're up there, some of these performances have been incredibly disappointing, especially over the last sort of 5 games. Take the Ipswich one out of it, and all of them have been pretty poor. So it's going to be something addressed as soon as possible. And I'm thinking this week will probably be a key time to do that without the distractions of a midweek fixture.
Right then, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game from Valley Pass. Your commentators were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
He ball into Forster Kesker. He couldn't find Anike, but he recovers it. Anike, he's going to take the shot. It's blocked up in the air. He's going to go for it again. Landell will only head it into Martson, left edge of the penalty area. Takes a shot and deflected away by Williams. Martson behind him. That's well worked by Gilby. Used him as a decoy. Chip ball into the box. Anike with a touch. Oh, and it's just wide of the left-hand post. Pierce coming in at the far side. Couldn't get a touch.
Backwards to Watson. Oh, looking for Anike. It's a lovely ball. Anike can turn in the penalty area. Shoots it straight at Sarkic. That's a lovely pick-out from Ben Watson to find him. Backwards to Norburn. Forwards to Pugh. And finds his man in. There's Miller with a shot in the end. It's just straight at Amos. Ricochets. For Vella, born in the penalty area, comes to shots from Pugh, which took a deflection, I think, and Amos just had to come across and make sure it wasn't heading towards it. And clears it away, helped by Watson. And then there is the half-time whistle. As it ends in after 45 minutes, Charlton 0, Shrewsbury 0. I have to say, no real chances of note for either side. Sprays it to the right-hand side to find Miller. And look to take on Martsen. Cuts inside. Thinks about a shot. Goes for it. It's a decent effort off the bar. He didn't hit it too cleanly, but the accuracy of the shot was awkward for Amos. Comes up to Martsen, who will take on Miller. Gets onto his left foot. Cross an opportunity. Touches back to Gilby inside the pounds area. He'll go for goal. Ooh, caught it well, but just wide. Now to play for a goal kick.
I wonder if that might be Alex Gilby's last contribution, and it is. Because Johnny Williams will be coming on to replace him. Met though by Guntone. He's up. It's a good ball, in fact, to Bogle. Bogle, good control. Turns. Got Williams out to his right hand side. Finds Williams. Gunter's on a run over on the overlap. Still Williams has it. With Gunter now taking over on the right hand side. Ball into the box. He's looking for. Lovely shot! And it's gone in! Great strike from Watson. He's come off a Shrewsbury player, I'm pretty sure, to find the right-hand corner of the net. But Charlton take the lead.
Well, just as we're saying, I don't think Charlton play terribly. They're a little bit sloppy with the goal kick. They get away with it. But it's great work, in fact, by Omar Bogle. It's a good control. He's patient. And he turns, finds Williams to his right. Williams with a really good run. Uses the overlap of Gunter. Lovely ball, early ball in towards the penalty area, which is not dealt with. Well, it actually comes away of Watson, whose strike. I don't think he actually caught it that cleanly. It takes a deflection. Whether it takes a deflection off a Shrewsbury player or Williams, I wasn't too sure. But it certainly took a deflection and then just trickled into the net. And Charlton had the lead after sending
it away. He might have done better to leave it because it's picked up by Daniels. Takes a shot. Double deflection. Pierce tries to get there. Cleared away by Martsen. Does really well. But he can only toe poke it away into a Shrewsbury possession. Well played by Johnny Williams to win the ball back for Charlton. Was he pulled then? No. Daniels back on the ball. Leaves it to Vella. Vella into the penalty area. Drill ball across. Oh, it's come off the crossbar. A lovely save by Amos. And then Prattley clears it away. Bodies everywhere. How did that stay out? Ben Amos is the main reason.
I haven't seen for a while. As Charlton prepare to make another sub, it might be Ben Perrington coming on.
It's Adam Matthews. There's a couple of times Shrewsbury on their left and Charlton's right have been getting him behind. And I don't think Bowie is happy at all. He wants a bit more protection.
It's Johnny Williams is coming off. Is that Johnny Williams?
It is Johnny Williams.
It is. Strange one, that. Johnny Williams coming off and the subs being subbed. As Matthews coming on, I think you're right to give protection down this right hand side.
That's a bit harsh for me though, tell.
Well, especially because two of the mistakes that you could say were from Gunter rather than Williams.
I mean, there was a couple of times Matthews. Williams lost his man, but if you're bringing on Matthews, you force Williams up the pitch. Just allow him to play off both.
Well, he's there with the chest control back. It's on the edge of the Charlton penalty area. It's a touch left of the post by Amos, I think, for a corner. It was a shot by Cummings, I think. 4 minutes of added time here. Dropping on the edge, Wally. For Shrewsbury, goes back to Norburn, thinks about a shot, takes it. What a save by Amos! Away to his left hand side, tips away for the corner.
And straight away, goes down to Matthews and says, "Why on earth are you playing a sloppy ball like that inside your own half?"
Towards Vella. Vella knocks it forward. Morgan underneath this, hits it straight up in here. Well, backwards. And Charlton have to deal with a rushed and sliced clearance. It's in the edge of the penalty area. That's the penalty as Edwards got beyond the Charlton defence. I couldn't see who pulled him back, but he went to ground and the home side have a penalty, all from the quite inexplicable slice by Albie Morgan.
Just needed a little bit of composure from Morgan. He's just cleared it up in the air. Edwards wins it and he's been brought down by Gunter.
It was Gunter, was it? I didn't see who actually pulled him down.
Now Norburn has a chance to rescue a point for Shrewsbury. Up to Ben Amos again for Charlton. Can he do it for the Addicts?
It'll be Norburn with the Shrewsbury penalty in the last seconds of the game. Steps forward and scores.
To say the last 10-15 minutes, the pressure has all been Shrewsbury.
And there is the final whistle. It's pretty much the last kick of the game. It's given the home side a share of the spoils.
Well, it's sickening tell, but again, from a Charlton perspective, probably not quite good enough.
There we go. That was the highlights then on Valley Pass. And you can hear the disappointment in the boys' voices as we came to the end of that game, because it was a frustrating result, a frustrating performance as well, Benji. And, you know, really, if we had held on, I would have felt very lucky to have come away from that game with 3 points, because Shrewsbury were the team doing all the pushing, particularly at the end. It's not like their goal came out of nowhere. And we didn't create as many chances as we'd hoped to going away to a team who were near the bottom of the table. Obviously, that's quite a simplistic way of putting it. But if you're a team at the top, you know, even if they're going to make it difficult for you, you need to create a few chances. And we didn't really create that many other than the goal that we scored.
Yeah, I think that's the case. They're a team that's down the bottom, and yesterday it didn't show that. You'd have thought it was the other way round. You would have thought they were the team up the top, because I said they created more chances. I think if we're trying to look at positives from the game, I thought definitely positives was having Pierce and Famo back. It definitely made our side more rigid, definitely had a bit more structure about it. And it allowed someone like Mattson, who I thought had a good game. I thought he got forward well, which we missed on Wednesday night. I think he was the only one in the team really trying to take the ball to him and run at him. And at times he is going to make mistakes because he's gambling. And he's doing something that, okay, you're running at defenders with pace. Sometimes you might lose out, but at least we're trying to make something work there. And Lewis said it earlier, with having Watson and Prattley in that team, it's just going against a team that were 23rd in the table. It's too defensive for me. You got them two sitting in front of a back four. It's just, where are our chances going to come from? Then you're looking at Gilby, you're forced to Kasky. But are they the kind of players that are going to run forward and create much? Because we seem to be doing that sideways passing with not much penetration of going forward. I think Chuck's got quite a bit bullied by their back three yesterday. Early doors, he was calling for the ref and the lino to have a look at things. But as a defender there, you're going, yes, I've got him right where I want him. I think Connor ran about a lot, but again, never really did much. And it wasn't until Johnny came on, we kind of looked like, OK, we're going to take the game to him, which is a bit worrying. It took us till then to make things happen, but yeah, as I say, looking at the bigger picture, it was 90 minutes to go through, and mistakes were made, progress was made, but overall, a draw was probably warranted from the game.
Yeah, I certainly think it would have been a bit of a stretch to suggest that we deserved all 3 points out of that one, although it was frustrating the way that we chucked away those two extra points, Lewis, because of course we were leading from that goal that's been accredited to Ben Watson. May or may not have been going wide, but it definitely took a touch on the way in, but it's been given to Watson thus far. But yeah, we were going into those closing stages. I think we'd seen Shrewsbury hit the bar a couple of times. Amos had made a few very good saves, as we're getting used to. But then the goal that we've given away, and Bowyer again fuming when we spoke to him after the match, a slice clearance from Albie Morgan that bounced inside our own penalty area. That's obviously not what you need. And then an experienced defender like Chris Gunter gets the wrong side of Dave Edwards, his former Welsh teammate, and hauls him down. You know, but you can see why Bowie was so frustrated with the catalogue of errors that led to the game. I mean, even letting the ball bounce inside a penalty area like we did. I mean, these are simple things that you'd expect us to be able to deal with.
Yeah, 100%. And especially the thing that disappoints me the most is that it was Albie that made the error, because it's just unfortunate for him. He's had such a good run of performances, and his form's been so good. And I feel a bit sorry for him that that's happened. But ultimately, you do just have to leather it, don't you, and just get rid of it. It's not pretty, but it's just an error, isn't it? He's still young and he's obviously not meant to do it. It's just incredibly unfortunate. But we just don't react enough. I think that last 10 minutes, we were getting absolutely peppered. There was no control from our side of it at all. We couldn't retain the ball. We didn't have any possession. We were just lumping it long and giving it away constantly, and it was coming straight back into our area. And that led to some difficult chances from them. You know, like that shot at the end that Amos had to tip round, that, you know, great curling effort. And then it was like constant battering. And it was only a matter of time until they were going to score, when you look at it like that, because you can only, you know, gift your opponent the opportunity so many times before they capitalise, and Shrewsbury didn't really. We did it to ourselves by gifting them that penalty. But you know, it's tough. And I do think that maybe some of the changes we made were negative, and maybe the wrong ones. I'm sure we'll come on to talk about the Johnny Williams change anyway. But I just think that we did it a little bit wrong yesterday in that last sort of closing stages. We were looking to try and just lump it long and get rid of it, but we just didn't have the personnel to do so. You had Connor Washington chasing onto balls that, you know, the guy's been playing the whole game. He's only just come back from a knock himself, and we're taking off people that have only been on the pitch for 20 minutes that arguably have better legs at the moment. But it's something that we'll come to talk about with the Johnny change. I thought it was bizarre, and I think it maybe wasn't the right thing to do, but ultimately, at the same time, if he's pulled out of the tackle and Bowyer's seen that doesn't like it, then, you know, he's the boss. But I just think that we were relying on those two strikers that aren't the most leggy of strikers anyway. I mean, Washington has pace, but he played pretty much a full game, to sort of drive the ball away when we were just sort of hoofing it, and then they couldn't get on the end of it. It was coming straight back in. We were just sort of shooting ourselves in the foot and inviting pressure, and unfortunately that pressure told, and we made the error in the box, gifted the penalty, and then we chuck away 2 points. But as you say, arguably we didn't deserve the three anyway, but sometimes it's those smash and grabs that get you promoted, and I'm disappointed that we couldn't hold on.
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk about the rights and the wrongs of the Johnny Williams substitution then. So he's bought on for Alex Gilby, and then taken off 23 minutes later for Adam Matthews, Benji. No matter for what Bo's reasonings are, I mean, first of all, we should say, I mean, really, Johnny was a fresh pair of legs that could hold the ball up the other end of the pitch and just release a bit of that pressure and out ball that we were really missing in that last 10 minutes when we couldn't seem to get outside of our own half.
Spot on, mate. I think attack is the best form of defence. I tweeted that after the game, and I know people are moaning about people on Twitter after the game, but you've got to remember, after the game, normally we're in a pub and we're talking with our mates, talking about the game and dissecting what we all thought over a beer, and then we can kind of release our anger, as you like, through that. And a lot of people, like me, were bemused as why Johnny came off, because, as you say, he can take that ball up the pitch, release the pressure from the defenders, and as we know, they love to foul Johnny. He's so quick on the ball, and that's what he did when he came on. I mean, there's one of those things you talk about at someone's end of career, sit down, interview, oh, did you ever get taken off when you had been brought on as a sub? Oh, yes, I did. Oh, well, what happened? Well, I came on, I assisted a goal, and the only goal in the game, and then got taken off because I pulled out of a tackle. Maybe he pulled out of a tackle because he was afraid it was a bad tackle and he might get injured again, because we know he's injury prone. I can't remember the bit where he did. Of course, Bowyer can, because he was there, so he's probably calling me a plonker for saying that. But look, I thought personally, and I said after the game, I thought it was the wrong decision to make, as you said, to relieve that pressure. And it seemed very similar of last season, where we took the lead in a game and then it resulted in the last 10 minutes us going negative, throwing defenders on and conceding late. And I didn't feel that we needed to do that yesterday. Okay, they had a couple of chances, but they weren't bombarding us with chances. And when we did make that change, it seemed like they did.
Yeah, no, I mean, the morality of the decision then, Lewis, you know, obviously Bowyer doesn't like to see when a player pulls out of a challenge. And funnily enough, I think all of us in the press box at the time actually saw this one. I think Johnny had just sort of gone in for a loose ball. We thought perhaps he'd maybe been fouled. And then you saw the two coming together. And funnily enough, at the exact time, I was thinking, oh, Johnny, don't go into that. You're about to get hurt here, because the guy was really coming in. Although because he pulled out of it, obviously, if you take the pain, you might even get the free kick. Because he's pulled out of it, their players won it cleanly and they've gone on to create an opportunity. So you can see why Bowyer would be frustrated with that. But do you think that warrants the decision? I mean, it certainly sends a message. Bowyer's tried this before with Bogle. He took him off against Burton Albion. Next game, he comes on, plays really well, scores. I thought Bogle did okay when he came on yesterday. A couple of nice bits of hold-up play, which we didn't see too often throughout the match from others. And he's spoken publicly about Albie Morgan, for example, before. This is a man management technique that Bowyer's utilised before and it's worked before. But, I mean, people are questioning it yesterday. What do you think, Lewis?
I mean, we've got to remember as well that he used this on Johnny Williams earlier in the season, didn't he? And then he went on international duty after being told, you know, he's got to get better, he's got to be fitter to get in this side. Goes away on international duty, gets a goal, comes back, scores for us. And we're, you know, we're looking at that and thinking, oh, brilliant. Like, this could be a real boost for his confidence. And like Benji said there, this is a guy who's been injured for a terrible amount of time in his career. He's still a fairly young player. He's got talent. You know, we know that. We know what he's capable of. And I think that the backing out of the tackle thing, maybe it is something in his head about getting injured. Because as a footballer, your career is short, isn't it? And sad as it is, maybe he shouldn't be, you know, bottling these sorts of tackles. But if you've had as many injuries as he's had, then psychologically, what does that do to you? You're probably always thinking, you know, when am I going to pick up my next injury and how long is it going to keep me out for? And with yesterday, I mean, Bo's the manager. He knows best. But what I would have sort of expected maybe is that he would have, if he'd have backed out of the tackle, which he did, and they didn't score, then, you know, just give him a rollicking on the sideline. Just say, look, come on, if they'd have capitalised on that error, then we'd be down, you know, be one all, and we were up against it then. But don't haul him off, you know, give him the grilling on the sideline and make sure he doesn't do it again. And that could fire up a player and he can go on and do something else, you know, something great. But I don't know. With Johnny, it's been a bit of a stop-start season for him, isn't it, anyway? I don't know if it's just maybe he's felt the brunt of Boya's frustration for the entire afternoon. You know, it was a bit of a hapless display from everybody, really, bar Ben Amos and I'd say Ian Mattson, like Ben said. But I think maybe he just felt the brunt of it. He, right in front of Bo, backing out of a tackle, maybe he'd just had enough at that point and just flipped and wanted to change something. But what effect it has on Johnny, we'll see. You know, we've got a week now to train and everything. I'm sure that they'll be having a conversation at Sparrows Lane about what's expected, etc. But we'll have to see how Johnny reacts to that criticism. You know, it's very public. It's out there on Twitter. It's one of those things as a player, mentally, you do have to try and get over. And he has done before with the criticism earlier on in the season. So let's hope he does it again. But for me, it was quite a strange, strange method. But if it pays off, you know, we'll all be eating our words, won't we? So fingers crossed it does.
I think strange is definitely the right word. We're all scratching our heads trying to work out the reasoning. When we were in the ground yesterday, you know, we were like, I'm sure he's not injured. And I came up with a theory on Twitter that it must be a Boya trying to go more defensive tactically and bringing on, you know, and just making a tactical change. But like I say, as we heard after, and we'll hear Boya's post-match interview again shortly, it was the outcome of Johnny Williams pulling out of a tackle, and plenty of you have sent your views in on that decision as well, so we'll come to those in a minute. Benji, obviously, other than that, you know, we've talked about the disappointing display. I guess one of the positives we'll take from yesterday is the fact that we've seen Jason Pearce back and Akin Famwo both starting in the side. So, again, we were able to name some centre-backs, two centre-backs in the same team for the first time in well over a month. I made it the Oxford game that we won at the Valley back towards the end of October was the last time we were able to do that. So, I mean, that is a positive to take. And you think that as we start getting more a settled side, hopefully players in their actual positions, that will start to help. And then maybe Bo can start to think about again how he'll look to field all things around in the midfield, move people around now he's got more options to work with again.
Yeah, massive positive having those two back. Our unbeaten run came from having Innes and Famwo there and Gunter at right back, Mattson at left back, and we were all looking at the positives and saying what great signings we've made, how quickly they've gelled. So having those two back is a definite positive. I thought they did well yesterday, considering they've, especially Jason's, been out for, I don't think he's played at all this season. So having him back, our captain, and I thought he led well yesterday at times, was good. Injury list building up, isn't it? That's looking at the bigger picture and what went wrong. From Wednesday night, you had Shinny not playing and you had Madison not playing. And Madison, we spoke about on Thursday, was a real bright spark of that team on Wednesday when he came on. He made chances happen. Putting some good balls into the box, which we could have done with yesterday. So, again, it's out of our hands, these injuries. Unfortunately, they're falling at bad times. If only we had a fit Alfie Doughty, then I'm sure that would have cause teams problems, but it's ways of dealing with it and operating with our team. And it is a team that's being put together quite quickly. So how well can we deal with that? Something I may have done yesterday, as I said earlier, I thought that Chuck's got a bit bullied by their centre-backs. I would maybe have put Omar on with Chucks and maybe put Chucks in that number 10 role where we had him last season. So then Omar could have done the dirty work and Chucks could have bounced off that. And yeah, it's obviously hard because these injuries come late notice and stuff to know which way we're going to deal with things. But as Lewis said, we've got a week off now till the Wimbledon game to try and hopefully get a couple players back, whether Madison's just got a short illness, whether Shinny can be back, and ways that we can try and exploit Wimbledon's weaknesses like that.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear what Lee Bowyer said after the game then. He was absolutely bloody fuming. It didn't help actually that he came out of the tunnel to come and speak to us while we were still up in our seats. He actually came out really quickly, and so then he was a bit frustrated that we weren't ready for him straight away, so that probably added to it as well. But anyway, I did ask the Addicts Boss what he made of the performance at the New Meadow against Shrewsbury.
Should have gone home with 3 points. It's nothing. There's no question. Like, we have to manage the game better. It's something simple. Just all you have to do is just clear your lines, and then that's it. We win the game. Instead of trying to smash the lever off the ball when then the ball's ending up bouncing in our bloody box. Like, it's pathetic. Stupid. Stupid. We should be leaving with 3 points and we're leaving with one. Not good enough. Just do the basics, you know? Like, it's just... Go on.
Well, I could see your frustrations at full time there because, you know, having it's been a difficult game this afternoon. Shrewsbury certainly made you work for that goal you got, but to get so close, you must be so frustrated at full time.
Yeah, I'm fuming. Putting on players and they're pulling out of tackles. They should have scored before that. They should have scored because someone pulled out of a tackle. It's not good enough. Like, what are you doing? I won't accept anything like that. Never. And they know that. And then to concede the way we did there, it's just wrong. Shouldn't be happening.
Overall, do you think your side deserved to go on and win the game today?
Yeah, because we was a team that was trying to play the right way, and I think at times we got into good positions again, didn't take care in that final third, again, too sloppy. But the goal was something that we worked on yesterday, and it was like, look, we get to this situation, this is what happened. They defend their 6-yard box well, but they don't defend the in and around the penalty spot. We worked on it, and then it came off. So then it's pleasing, and you think, here we go, and then you're in injury time, and then you're going home with 3 points, and then that happens. Like, it's all that hard work goes to waste, you know? It frustrates me. It drives me mad.
We saw a substitution, the likes of what you don't often see. Johnny Williams came on and played 20 minutes and then was taken off. What was the reasoning behind that today?
Because he'd been pulled out of a tackle and they should have scored from it. Like, if you're going to pull out of tackles, then that's not acceptable. Not playing for me. If you want to pull out of tackles, you ain't never going to play for me. So I've just spoken to Johnny in there. I've just told him what I think of it. I told him the reason why I brought him off. And you can't be doing that. We're all in this. You have to fight for everything. You think you can just jump out of the way, jump out of tackles? That is never going to happen. Never.
It's been relentless, hasn't it, over the last few days? And this is the end of another couple of weeks of Saturday, Tuesday at least. So you must be pleased to be able to get back on the training ground again for the next few days.
Yeah, get back on the training ground and start working hard again. But we should be leaving here with 3 points a day, and we ain't. And that's not good. It's been tough. We've played 4 out of 5 the last games away from home. It's never easy coming here, and we had to dig deep, and I thought we'd done that. I thought we'd done enough to win the game, but hasn't happened, and it's frustrating.
There's been obviously been a bit of inconsistency in terms of results over the last few weeks when you've seen that winning run before that. Yeah. I mean, is that something you're expecting to see a lot in League One this season, particularly when there's so many games in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, I think that will happen all season. I think all teams will have that inconsistency, but today we should have took the 3 points and moved on, but we haven't. So that's definitely 2 points dropped.
And on the plus side today, of course, the first time you're actually able to name two centre-backs in the team for a long time. What did you make of Akin and Jason today?
Yeah, I thought they'd done well. I thought Akin liked being on the wrong side, if you like. Left foot or playing on the right is never really easy. But yeah, I thought they'd done well. It was good to see him back. It's good for us.
And no Marcus today. I understand he's ill. Can you tell us, is he all right?
Or? Yeah, he turned up yesterday and he was ill. That's why he's not here.
It's not the virus or anything?
No.
And just finally, I didn't ask you about the penalty itself. Did you ever, it looked pretty clear from where I was, but I haven't seen it back.
Yeah, we should have won the header. Didn't win the header, and then now it's bouncing around, and I'm guessing someone stuck the leg out and he fell over it. I don't know, I didn't really see it. But it should have been dealt with before it even got to there. All you had to do is turn it around, simple, basic.
And how did you find the atmosphere of playing with only away fans? Obviously, it's unusual as a manager to only have people from the away team there.
Yeah, not really. We had no fans here, so I'm not worried what theirs were like. Obviously, would have been better if we had some here.
Do you think it gives the home side an advantage?
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it gives the home team an advantage. I think the more we can get back in and the sooner the better.
Cheers, then.
Lee, doubly disappointing when you consider that our start of the season was built on strength, especially towards the end of games when we were put under pressure. We seem to cope with it quite well. So is it the run of results that people are desperate to get those 3 points that causes little errors like that?
I don't know. To give a penalty away in injury time is it's naive and shouldn't be happening. We've got a lot of experienced players on that pitch, and we should manage the game better, especially going into injury time. So disappointing, and it's not like us we've been good at that. Been good at keeping teams out, and again, I'm standing there going into injury time, thinking good clean sheet, two centre halves back, but wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it's one of those results that, I mean, it almost ticked every box you wanted, as you said, with the two centre-half-backs. A really good training ground move to get the goal. And then it looked like, a battling performance, because it wasn't an easy game out there, and losing at the last. I mean, everybody must be down in there.
Yeah, and rightly so. Rightly so, it should be down. Because I'm fuming. So, they will. They'll be down, they'll be hurting, but we'll go again.
On the plus side, though, you've got a full week. You don't have another Tuesday or Wednesday game to worry about in midweek, so a full week on the training ground.
Yeah, and I need to charge their batteries because it's been tough for them. Like I said, I've been up and down the motorway 4 out of 5 away games, so in a short space of time. So it's been a lot of travelling, so they'll get their rest and then we'll go again.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cassie swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Bradley! Hey! Smacks it in! A
Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, Ethan behind. A little boy's fella who said I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable TV. Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Just before the break, where we heard a fuming Lee Bowyer after yesterday's game with Shrewsbury. Yeah, he did not hold back. Yeah, I think he calmed down a little bit by the end of the interview. But I mean, when we first spoke to him, Lewis, he was absolutely raging. He wears his heart on his sleeve, as we can see. And he's frustrated. He felt we should have won the 3 points. I mean, do you think his mood? Deep down, do you think it shows that overall, obviously the late frustration, but do you think it came from an afternoon of frustration where deep down we didn't play as well? I mean, I asked him if he thought we deserved to win, and he said yes, basically. But deep down, do you think it could be that it's come out of a frustrating afternoon overall?
Yeah, I think so. That and the frustration of Wednesday as well. I think maybe he's just not working out what isn't clicking at the moment. You know, we had players back that we thought would help us Saturday defensively, and I thought that as we said earlier, they both had a good game, so that obviously helped. Going forward, like we say, we didn't create a huge amount, and that would disappoint him because we've got a very creative side. You know, we've really creative players. Chucks has had a fantastic start to the season. Connor Washington also. Gilby back in there, we know what he can do, and Jake as well. And he'll just be frustrated that we didn't really create a huge amount or test them, especially when they are where they are in the division. And, you know, he will feel like we deserve to win it because we've created the only goal in open play, if you like. He'll see it from that ultimately we chucked that victory away, regardless of how poorly we played. We threw it away by not, you know, doing the correct things at the end of a game and seeing the game out. We were messing about with it, lumping it long and it getting sent straight back in, gifting that penalty. So I can see why he does feel hard done by, because despite us playing poorly, we did, you know, we were ahead and we were so close, and they didn't manage to score an open play. So that's a, you know, it's a credit to the defence and to Ben Amos as well. So yeah, he's going to be incredibly frustrated. You know, we had that really positive run, and then we had the result at Burton, showed that we can react by having a very strong professional performance at Ipswich. And then again, we've kind of limped along these two games, and it's been the same. You know, we just didn't get going, and yeah, he's going to want to bounce back as quickly as possible. You know, if we want to stay within that chasing pack of the top two, then things need to improve quickly. Maybe we need to review the system with the players that we have. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of thinking to do this week. But thankfully, there is no game midweek, so I think that'll play in our favour, because I think we probably do need the rest a little bit. You know, I think we've had a really congested fixture list.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've got plenty of tweets and emails to read through. Don't forget, if you want to have your tweet or email read out on next Thursday's or next Sunday show, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. Steve actually sent this one before yesterday's game, but obviously, you know, Bo also came in under a little bit of criticism from some fans for his comments about the supporters who attended the game against Milton Keynes. Steve says that the severe criticism of Lee Bowyer is quite frankly a disgrace after all he's done for this club. It doesn't bother me that he criticised some fans after the game on Wednesday. The team were very poor. Yes, the point he was making is he was expecting fans to be more vocal and support the team when they really need it. That's a fair point, I would say. To suggest sacking him from some of the fans is absurd. And let's not blow this out of proportion. There's been not many comments like that, realistically. There's been one or two at that, but you know, there has been some, and Steve says it is absurd. Be very careful what you wish for. The most important thing for me is where we are in the league and how he gets the team to play. No, he doesn't get it right all the time. We are fourth in the league, far higher than I thought we ever would be. Mid-table was the best I thought we would finish. So let's calm down, keep the faith, and let's get behind the team and Lee Bowyer. I mean, that is another school of thought, Ben. Do you think Bo probably did bring a little bit of pressure onto himself after those comments on Wednesday about the fans? You know, whether you agreed with them or not, he certainly put a little bit of pressure on himself. And do you think part of that frustration also was the reason you might have been quite vocal at full time yesterday? Or do you think he'd probably water off a duck's back? It's hard to tell with Bo, really.
It's hard to tell. I'd say war off a duck's back, really. I think the main frustration from that on Wednesday was that it was like the second time the fans are watching us live this season, and we've done so well up to that point, and they've seen a poor game, and he's frustrated, and he's thinking about all the aspects, and maybe thinking the crowd could have made a louder noise. Obviously, we spoke about that on Thursday at length, and look, obviously, Boya is going to come out. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He says things how it is. I think we spoke about that on Thursday, that sometimes we might not like what he says because he says it how it is. But at the end of the day, I haven't seen many people say Boya out. We're all just, a lot of us, very frustrated at teams we should be doing better against. We're not. And we, a lot of us, don't agree with the excuses he's come out with. I guess one of them was, I don't think he blamed the fans about the game, but kind of made that a bigger deal than it was, and the Johnny Williams thing yesterday. Of course, it's just frustration at the end of the game. Maybe he's doing his interviews too quick after the game, as you just said. Maybe he should give it a bit of a while to calm down and look at a bigger picture. Maybe he regrets what he said yesterday, or give Johnny Williams a big hug tomorrow in training and try and work out what's the better way going forward. I don't know, but probably not.
Yeah, well, funny enough, actually, about the what you said there about Boya coming out too quickly, that was echoed actually by Steve Brown on BBC Radio London on the post-match show yesterday. He says, I wonder if maybe Bo should take half an hour just to calm down. And I've listened to you said it, and I listened to Brown, he said it, and both times I'm thinking, no, don't do that, because I want to get home after a game. But yeah, excellent stuff. Right, email has come in from McSquared. Says, fair result. Hi guys, although Shrewsbury received an early Christmas gift from us right at the death, and as disappointment as it was, you have to say it was a fair result in what was a poor game overall. Amos had already saved our bacon a couple of times prior to the penalty, and once again it was sloppy defending that resulted in us coming away with 1 point instead of three. Apart from that, we had been too slow, ponderous and static until the subs come on, and far too ineffective in the final third. Again, there is far too little movement in general, resulting in far too many backward or sideways passes. Is it also merely a coincidence that both Anike and Bogle seem to make a bigger impact when they come off the bench? For whatever reason, Anike had a poor game when he was subbed. He didn't win a single header yesterday, or not many. Certainly, as Ben said, he was under pressure from that Shrewsbury back three. Williams looked lively when he came on, but lost the ball far too easily in our defensive third, which probably explains why he was subbed himself. You can't say we had a terrible game defensively, and Shrewsbury were no better than us overall. However, we seem to be lacking creativity and a cutting edge at the moment, which must be the greatest concern. Shrewsbury are most definitely the sort of side we should be taking care of if we are to harbour realistic hopes of promotion. For whatever reason, we seem to have become a very inconsistent side all of a sudden. That needs to change quickly. On the face of it, I could say we could do with a pacey forward who could complement Bogle or Anike, as although their hold-up play is good, their hard work often seems to go to waste. Neither of them is likely to score a hatful of goals, even in League One. MK Don's strike partnership showed us that we're missing in that respect, as their movement and understanding was superb. At the moment, we're just not causing opposition defences enough problems in general. Perhaps if we're lucky, we can find someone to fit the bill in the transfer window. If we had a player like Lyle Taylor in the current side, I reckon we'd be easily in the top two. Yeah, very good email that from McSquared. Thanks for that. Robert sends in as well. Evening, gents. Gilles, we missed a penalty. Burton, free basic schoolboy errors. MK Dons hit the bar another time it goes in. And yesterday, a slice clearance. Now, maybe we didn't deserve anything from those games because of the team's performance, but with a slice of luck, it would look very different. This is League One. No team is going to allow the opposition a free ride wherever they are in the league. Other teams' results can confirm that. Are Sunderland now on their third manager, or Portsmouth, who have remained loyal to Kenny Jackett since being in League One, how hard it is. Two different philosophies, but so far bearing the same result. It took Sheffield United 5 seasons to get out of the league. Now that the euphoria of the takeover has settled down, realistic aims and expectations after years of neglect should be the target. Of course, Lee Bowyer is not above criticism, but his hands are still tied after the takeover because of its late completion and the salary cap being introduced. He is extremely well thought of by his peers within the game. He has had to assemble a squad together at very short notice, being no doubt that he must be frustrated as the rest of us. This is not a Hollywood film where Lee Marvin gets together a group of misfits and wins the war. We may not win an Oscar this year. Patience is needed, and in the words of Alan Kirbishley, never too high, never too low. On the subject of Kirbishley, he was given time, and that led to stability and success although that didn't stop some fans calling for his head. We now hopefully have an owner with ambition and the financial clout to provide success. I'm sure Thomas has worked out it may not be as straightforward as he first thought. There will be no quick fix. In basic terms, you can't run before you can walk. Finally, we have our club back. We are in the top six, a position I'm pretty sure all of us would have taken that back in September. Yeah, that's from Robert. And yeah, I mean, as I said, I mean, I haven't seen many calls for Bayer to lose his job. I think that's being slightly overstated. You see one or two, and then it's more people talking about those people that seems to give it a bit of momentum when really there hasn't been that many people, Lewis. But, you know, Bayer needs time. He's certainly earned that with the amount of time he's stayed with us and what he's achieved so far at the club in what is his first managerial reign. You have to remember, this is his first job as a manager. He will make mistakes. Of course he will. Of course he will.
Yeah, 100%. And you look at that, I mean, you almost forget it's his first managerial reign, don't you? Because he's done so well, like, and he really has. I mean, of course, we're going to have disappointing, you know, results along the way. We have done. We had disappointing results when we won the playoff final that season. You know, it's people, like you say, the whole Boya sort of anti-Boya brigade is very, very minimal, I think. As you say, it's a couple of individuals that maybe think that he's not above criticism, which I understand he isn't, but at the same time, calling for his head would be utterly ridiculous because that man has been incredibly loyal to us and stuck by us when we needed him the most. And the club now is in a much better position, even with Thomas coming in. Like if Bo had walked and Thomas had come in and had to set up his own, you know, get his own manager and coaching staff, then that takes even longer to rebuild, you know. Bo has stuck around through thick and thin, and some of the conditions he's worked under Roland, under ESI, the Paul Elliott lot, whatever they're called, you know, it's been ridiculous. You'll struggle to find a manager that's worked in conditions that he has. And in that time, you know, his first proper season with us, we get promoted at Wembley. One of the most amazing moments of a lot of our support, you know, Charlton supporting lives, and especially for a lot of people, really. And then after that, you know, last season we started incredibly well in the Championship, and then we had the pandemic. The season went on pause, and we didn't stay up. But you know, we've again under conditions with our hands tied, and then we started this season again with our, you know, hands up in the air. No one knows what's going on, and we get that stability, as we say, right at the end of the transfer window, and we have to kind of rebuild very late notice. And you can't expect these things to gel overnight. And a lot of these players have been out of the game for a while or haven't had a proper pre-season and have been chucked straight in. So, you know, it's a project at the end of the day. And one of those emails summed it up perfectly. You know, we didn't expect to be where we were. I mean, maybe those expectations have changed over the coming weeks or so because of how well we've played in that run we had before the international break. But at the same time, there has to be a sense of realism here. You know, we've been through some real neglect from some pretty terrible owners, and it's not going to fix overnight. That neglect is going to take a while to mend, and we're in a really good place now on and off the pitch, and we've got to give it time to gel and to mould and move forward. And that's, you know, that's my view on it. I, of course, maybe there are a few things that I found a bit confusing with over the last few weeks with Bo and the Johnny Williams decision yesterday and the comment about the fans on Wednesday. But you know, as you say, we all make mistakes and we all make errors in life. And he's been one hell of a servant for this football club, and he deserves everybody's support and loyalty because he's been incredibly loyal to us when he could have easily walked away for a much easier life.
Excellent stuff. Right, the next message comes in from Phil. Hi, guys. Is the pressure of having to succeed because we now have an owner who wants big things from his club getting to Boya? Strange substitutions, overthinking tactics, negative football, and calling out the fans for not supporting the team. I just can't understand what's happened since the international break. So many of our players are completely out of form. I do hope he can sort this mini dip of form out. He deserves a crack of getting this team out of League One. That's from Phil. Yeah, I mean, It is a mini dip. That's what we should say. It's you know, one win in five. It's five games, not 15, not 20. Let's not get carried away. And as Phil says, hopefully, Bo will be able to turn this one around. Right, Jeff says, hi guys. I want to be very clear that I'm not in the Bo you're out camp. However, it does feel like we might be reaching the beginning of the end of his time at the Valley. Seems to me there is either a motivation or complacency issue in the team, or more worryingly, Bo's is starting to lose the room. I mean, I understand that the feeling, Jeff, but it's seven 10 days since we went and won at a fellow top six side with a clean sheet and a very good display. So I do hope we're not getting carried away. But Jeff says, by my account, in the past couple of weeks, he's shamed Maddison, Bogle and now Williams and called out the fans. Whilst historically, this approach has served him very well, I think it's totally fair to ask him how many more times he can do it before the team tunes out of him completely. I expect Thomas Sandgaard and Gallen to be back to back Boyer until at least the end of the year, even if our form turns around. And it's important to stay positive because we do have a run of winnable games coming up. I expect a big turnover, though, in January. If we don't finish top six, I wouldn't be surprised to see Boyer go in the summer. P.S. Did I read that as part of the EFL bailout, no League One or League Two team can pay a transfer fee in January? Combine that with the new Brexit rules and adding talent is going to be that much harder. So we can't peg our hopes only on that yet. Yeah, so with the bailout, if you've seen the story that the bailout between the Premier League and the League One and League Two sides, basically you get your pot of money and then you can apply for a further loan pot of money. And if you do apply for that loan or that extra pot of money, then I think you have to pay it back, or you certainly have to pay it back if you then go on to spend it on transfer fees. So basically, I think if you go for this extra pot of money, you aren't allowed to go for spending transfer fees. But I hope in the situation we're in with Thomas Sandgaard that we wouldn't be under those sort of rules, because I don't think we'd be a club that would have to go for that extra pot. Right, Craig says, hi guys, great show as always, cheers Craig. Poor game management, contentious tactical decisions, Phil for joining, not fair at all. When he came on, he was a good threat. Something seems off in the camp ever since the dentist talk. Need to get back our form from September. That's from Craig, cheers Craig. And then Tom van der Steen says, disappointing yesterday, we need to start winning these games. 5 points from 15 against winnable opposition, with the exception of Ipswich, is not a great return. Just one point or question: was that our strongest starting lineup, do you reckon, even with the injured players available? Maybe with the exception of Innes, if everyone was fit, I couldn't see Boyer picking a different 11. I suppose it could be seen as a little worrying with that performance. The thing is, we are sixth, and I would have taken that at the start of the season, but those pre-international break results have raised expectations, so I can't help but be disappointed. Top show, lads. That's from Tom. Interesting question that, Ben. Do you think, looking at that starting 11, I imagine Doughty would certainly come into that team if he was fit. Is there anyone else you would start ahead of someone who started yesterday, other than obviously maybe Ryan Innes?
Yeah, maybe Ryan Innes instead of Pierce, maybe, going by what we've seen this season of Innes. Nothing against Pierce, but if a player's playing in form, which we've seen from Innes, then I wouldn't definitely Doughty in the team. And just not Pratley and Watson in the same team together. And on form, Marcus Maddison, which obviously we haven't seen enough game from him, you'd probably put him ahead. But of course, we haven't seen too much of him yet. So, yeah, we definitely miss Alfie Doughty at the moment. But as was said in other emails, we've got to find ways of changing our team to work for it, really.
Right, one more message before we go to the break. Charlton Soul says, important to recognise the disgrace of Millwall booing the knee, a club that has always provided a safe space for racism, and a club whose values couldn't be more different than our own. Yeah, I mean, don't get carried away, Sam, with only blaming Millwall, because it did happen at other clubs yesterday. And I think if you just try and target all of your ire at one football club, then I don't think you're really reading the situation correctly there, because it's a societal issue, and not only at Millwall. And I wouldn't be shocked if we had something similar here, basically, based on some of the stuff I've read online over the last few days. So I think you're going about it the wrong way if you're going to turn this into a Millwall thing and not a society thing. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, we've still got some more messages on the game at Shrewsbury yesterday.
So we meet again, and I offer my hand all dry and English slow, and you look at me and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right hand side of Smith. Smith, ball into the box for Anika. Yeah, four! What a header! Superb goal by Charlton. Brilliantly worked on this right hand side. Smith with the cross, and Anika's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to the final part of this week's Charlton Live. We've read your emails after the game from Shrewsbury yesterday. Got a few tweets as well. A lot of messages has come in, so again, I won't be able to get to all of them. But we'll go for a handful because I do want to just sort of gauge some of the reaction from yesterday. Craig Bond said, almost glad we didn't win, so we can't stick our head in the sand about the performance recently. The argument that we expect too much doesn't hold water. 5 games since the international break, 4 disgraceful performances all against teams in the bottom 6 at the time. Boya is right that the players are not meeting the grade and they should be doing better, but unfortunately just digging them out isn't working. Time to come up with some new solutions. Lee Boya. Macca says, it was a shocking performance from everyone, including Boya. The only two who came out of it with any credit were Amos and Williams, and Boya pathetically took Williams off. Gilby is non-existent, and playing both Watson and Prattley in the middle was a no from me. Too much sideways and backwards passing. Yeah, actually, I mean, we spoke about those other players, Lewis, but not Gilby yet. He's taken a little while to get back up to speed, isn't he? Because he was, for me, he was one of our better players before he got injured, but he hasn't hit those heights at all since he's come back yet.
No, not a shame, because I saw him in those games early on in the season. I was lucky to go to the pilot event against Doncaster. Again, that performance wasn't great, but Gilby stood out for me. I remember he cracked the crossbar from like 30 yards right at the end, and he's good on the ball. You know, he holds on to it well. He brings other people into play. He's good at, you know, he can notch in with goals himself. He obviously knows how to play at this level. He's won that the MK Dons Player of the Year, hasn't he, last year as well? So we know he's got something about him. But yeah, I'm quite disappointed. He has come back from the layoff that he's had, and he's not really hit the ground running, has he? And we can say that about a few people. You know, I thought we'd be getting more out of Marcus Maddison by now, and we haven't. He impressed me midweek, and then you don't see him. I think he probably was injured yesterday or ill or something, but he was out of the squad yesterday, which was a shame. And yeah, I mean, Gilby is it's a tough one, because he has had a lot of time out, and he hasn't really hit those, like you say, those heights that he had at the start of the season, where we were all looking towards him, thinking, oh, this is, he's going to be some player, this guy. But I don't think he can shelve all of it. I think that there's not, the performances in midfield especially haven't been good enough over this period of 5 games or so, apart from Albie Morgan, and that's probably tarnished a little bit by the mistake he made yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, we've got so much quality in midfield on paper. It's just working out how to fit, you know, how to get that best midfield, because I don't think that we know our best midfield at the moment, because I don't think, as that tweet said there about Prattley and Watson, I don't think they should be in the same side together, because it is too defensive. And then you're looking at the likes of Williams, Maddison, Gilby, Forster, Caskey, Morgan. You know, there's a lot of players to fit in there, and I don't think we know our best midfield at the moment. And I think that might shoot us in the foot a little bit, because we're not going to be able to string up a sort of an understanding between the midfield, because we're constantly having to rotate it. Which, whether that's to do with systems or keeping players happy, I don't know, but we're making so many changes game after game. I think maybe we just don't know our best 11 at the moment.
Excellent stuff. Right, Matt says, our style of play has become quite boring and negative of late. If you look at chances created and shots, etc., we're down the bottom end of the table. It doesn't seem to work against all of these bottom sides. Right, Troika says, I believe in the gaffer and the team. Bonding, training and progress depends on overcoming adversity. And if there's one thing we know about, it is adversity. Manage your expectations. A few weeks ago, we never even had a team. If you don't want to know, don't ask Bo. And then complain. Yeah, there's a few things yesterday where people was like, well, you shouldn't report on the Johnny Williams thing, as if like everyone was asking why Johnny Williams was taken off, as if I'm going to go and ask him. And then obviously a lot of people didn't like the answer, but I can't help that, unfortunately. Rick says, no point criticising Boya with a biased media here and fans that think because he stayed loyal and we did not have a club a few weeks ago makes him untouchable. We now have a half-decent team that Boya seems to be struggling with tactics and trying to keep them in check. I did put on Twitter, you know, disappointment after we were held to the draw, and Ant says the way we played that we held Shrewsbury to a draw. Cass said, sloppy and, dare I say, boring performances of late. I'm just not seeing the togetherness. Milton Keynes, Burton and Shrewsbury really should garner more than one point. I think we'd have got more if the team looked more in sync. Too many mistakes and not enough creativity or ideas. Addicts and the rational fans says, frustrating. Still, the bigger picture is in a good spot. We could have been even better, though. rather sort things out now before the massive six-pointers coming up at the end of the month. And then just finally, then I did again put out the question what people made of the decision to take Johnny Williams off after bringing him on. London Nick Geezer said it was a pathetic decision. I don't think I've ever seen a worse substitution, and it cost us the game. Poor performance all round, but that capped it off. And another note, Ben Watson, that don't get why he plays week in, week out. He is patently past it. Demp said it was a shocking decision on the basis Gilby should be getting nowhere near the team. KB Little Sis said, unusual, but he wouldn't be the first manager to sub a sub. I'll hold off on the hysterics for now. Michael said it was shambolic, and in the end it was proven wrong because we still conceded. Tracy says harsh and petty, but I still back Bowyer. Sam says players aren't good enough for Charlton, and Bowyer knows it. Toon Addict says it was a look at me decision from a manager who seems to be getting things wrong at the moment. Steve said it was awful man management, a good way to lose the dressing room. And Tom Wallin, well, I can't say what Tom Wallin said. You can only imagine what he said when Johnny Williams got taken off. Right, we've gone over time now, so I'm going to call time on the show. Thanks to all of you who've listened to this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to the many of you who've got involved via email and Twitter. Sorry I couldn't get to all of them, but I'm really grateful for you sending your views over. Thank you to Benji and to Lewis for joining me on this week's show.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
Cheers from the conservatory.
Yeah, you stay in there. Right, good to have you both. Thanks, like I say, to everyone who's listening. We'll be back on Thursday then to look ahead to next Saturday's game at home to AFC Wimbledon. Look forward to speaking to you again. I've been Louis Mendes, and we shall see you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.